You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with the contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. It's game day in Jacksonville. It's an I-95 battle between the Dolphins and the Jaguars. And this is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars Report here on Locked On Jaguars. I told Cal Krabs this morning on our crossover edition that I fully expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat the Miami Dolphins. But it's the NFL, man. You can never, ever be shocked or surprised at anything that might happen. So therefore, I'm fully prepared that there may be a surprise or two in store for the Jaguars if they don't go out and actually play up to their full potential today or tonight or this evening, however you want to spill it. The Jaguars have to actually go out and do everything in their power to make sure they got to make sure that they come ready to play. It's the NFL, man. Anything can happen. You know, Miami could very well be 1-1 had they played just a little bit better last week against Buffalo. Just a little bit better against Buffalo. And, you know, they're 1-1 and you know, everything doesn't look so easy to Jacksonville. They got to go out and win the game on the field, not in the press. You can listen to this and every single Jaguars podcast that is done daily here on Locked On Jaguars and subscribe on Google Podcasts. Every single day we talk about this stuff, man, and we know that the Jacksonville Jaguars have to go out and get it done, period. It's time for the Jaguars on the national stage to separate themselves from the middle of the pack, that average middle, and say at least, okay, we're going to contend for maybe the bottom portion of those playoffs and try to really separate ourselves from the average Joes. No, we're one of those teams that are going to be here all year long, and we're going to be pressing towards that mark of being legitimate. Let's take advantage of this enthusiasm that we have now. Even though there's not going to be fans in the stands all season, this is a narrative-changing opportunity for Jacksonville right now. It is. It really is. It's a narrative-changing opportunity for these Jaguars and for this football team and for Gardner Minshew, for Doug Marrone, for everybody. Not just because it's the third week mark, you know, every week counts, but it's not because it's so early, you know, you don't want to put too much on it. But for a franchise that needs every single thing that they do, especially publicly, to be acknowledged, oh, this is a huge game. This is a huge game because they've already shut up. And the reason why is because people, they dug a grave for Jacksonville and put them in it. And already in 2 weeks, the Jaguars already have their heads back above ground, because when you anticipate that someone's going to be so bad and they're not as bad as you thought they were, in fact, they're way better than you thought. They're even, you know, if they are 500, that the fact is that they're right there. They're right there. They won one ball game against a team that everybody thought was a Super Bowl contender, and then they basically could have won a ball game or should have won a ball game against another team that people realize is a Super Bowl contender. No. Those things don't happen by accident. They get to add to that tonight. They get to add to that tonight if they do everything the way we all know they're capable of. And I think they can pull it off. I really do think they can pull it off. As I mentioned, it's a crossover day, so we have Kyle Krabs from Locked On Dolphins on. He's going to discuss the game tonight with me here on Locked On Jaguars. It's a 995 crossover edition. We're going to have a blast. You buckle your seatbelts. You hang out with us for just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. As promised, it's a crossover Thursday. It's an I-95 crossover in-state. Locked On Dolphins, Locked On Jaguars, Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars, Kyle Krabs with Locked On Dolphins, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I ain't going to start naming all the titles, because if I do, we'll be here all segment. So, Kyle, what's on, man?
How you doing, man? It's good to get on the horn with another one of these Florida teams. You know, we get a bum rap for being the Florida teams, but I'll be damned if we don't have some fun football. Even at a combined 1-3 record to start the year this year.
I know it. We're not gonna do that. I'm not gonna let you get away with that. No, we're 1-1. You're 0-2. That's good. We're 1-1. You're 0-2. We're gonna clear that up right now. No, but I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm a little bit surprised. I'm actually the way the season ended last year, and with the momentum that was coming into this season, and you guys getting to it, and it seemed like there was a sort of an uptick with Miami. I mentioned this yesterday. It was an uptick. There was more expected out of Miami, and there was a little bit expected out of Jacksonville. I'm sort of surprised after 2 weeks that now that's sort of changed and switched around after 2 weeks, that more people are disappointed in Miami, and people are shocked that Jacksonville is actually playing better, and the quarterback that we expected would be getting all of the attention, Tua, isn't getting any at all because he's not playing, and Gardner Minshew's making people forget about Trevor Lawrence already.
Yeah, Gardner's been really fun to watch over the first couple of weeks. And I'll say this for Miami. I think the expectations, and Brian Flores was very clear at the beginning of the season, that this was not last year's team. And you look at the players that are now in place, and more than half of the starting lineup is new players. And turnover's no big thing in the NFL. It happens to every team every year. But this is the second consecutive year that the Dolphins are walking in with between 50 and 60% of their roster, not even their starters, their roster, being players that weren't on the team last year. So amid everything that's been going on with the uncertainty of the season and the amended training camp, I think the Dolphins have just kind of got bit early, where they're still – they don't have the install in the playbook where ideally it would be if you brought everybody back from last year, because you have to start from square one all over again. So I definitely think that's a big component as to why – Miami has kind of traded places with Jacksonville, whereas Jacksonville playing like they got nothing to lose, because they don't. And as somebody who sat through that season last year with the 2019 Dolphins, I got a great appreciation for the way Jacksonville's playing to open the season.
It's amazing, isn't it? Coaches say it all the time, and we have to remind fans, and sometimes even in the media, we have to remind ourselves that football really isn't a sport where you pick up where you left off. It just doesn't work that way. You actually, even if it's success or failure from the previous year, it is a total reboot. I mean, it's garbage in, garbage out, but you do have to, because you have to start all over. And if you make the mistake of thinking like, okay, we're just going to add a few pieces and we're going to pick up right where we left off. We were 10-6 last year. If we add a couple of pieces, we'll just go to 12-4. It just does not work that way, man. Does it?
No, definitely not. So, that's been one of the things I've been most depressed with Jacksonville, was watching, you know, obviously the Leonard Fournette situation where he's out, and you got this young back in James Robinson, who I loved through the draft process, and he's kicking butt through 2 weeks, and DJ Chark and the chemistry that he had with Gardner Minshew, and then being able to sustain all of that while bringing Jay Gruden into the mix. So that kind of transcending Gruden's addition to the coaching staff, like, Jacksonville's got a lot of cool subplots in this 1-1 start.
They do have a lot of cool subplots. And from afar, I have been, you know, banging my head on the table trying to figure out what Miami subplots are, because I was really, really confused last year how Minka Fitzpatrick wasn't a fit. And the reason I say that is because Brian Flores comes from the Nick Saban tree, and he's the defensive coach. Well, he comes from the Bill Belichick tree, and Nick Saban comes from the Bill Belichick tree, and Minka Fitzpatrick played for Nick Saban. So when you start making all these connections, you're like, well, how come he isn't a fit? Or maybe he isn't that good. And then he goes to Pittsburgh and he looks like an all pro. So you're just wondering, like, how do you get rid of a young talent like that? And he's not a fit. What are you trying to accomplish? So you're just kind of banging your head on the table, and then Raekwon McMillan's gone. So I'm just going to ask you, what are they trying to do? And where are they trying to go? Are they just trying to, is it, let's just keep going and plugging away at it until we get it right? Because I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happened here in Jacksonville. And they got so many mulligans here. And it finally started to look right. But they got 8 years, man. They got, you talk about a cat having nine lives. They've had 15.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out what exactly is going on there, because I can't really put my finger on the pulse of it from three and a half hours away.
Well, as far as the Minka situation, the Dolphins very much so wanted Minka to be a piece of the puzzle for them. And Minka was not pleased, and he came out over the summer and did he helped Tyler Dunn write a story. It was from Minka's perspective, the trade from Miami and what went wrong and then what went right in Pittsburgh. And Minka took great exception to the fact that the Dolphins were playing him in a lot of a coverage role in man-to-man against tight ends, because the Dolphins want good tacklers in the secondary, and they want guys that are versatile, and they want guys that can play man-to-man and roll down in the box at any given point. And Minka, you could tell even through the training camp last year, he was getting frustrated by being put in positions that he didn't feel like were putting him in the best position to succeed. But really, from the Dolphins' perspective, they were trying to get him reps at what he needed to get better at. We know you can play single high free safety, Minka, but we need you to get better so that we can be multiple in the back end. And if a team comes out in two tight end sets, or they're going to come out and they're going to motion, like, we don't want to be switching and running guys back and forth. We want you to be able to roll down into the box and play that role. So then the ugly start happened, where they lost 59-10 and they lost 43-0 because they tore their entire team down. And Minka said, yeah, you know what? I'm out of here, man. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. I think you guys are not headed in a direction that I like. So Flores, the owner, the GM, they all met with Minka several times over a stretch of about 2 weeks, trying to smooth it over and be like, listen, like, you're still a part of our plans, but we have been trying to get you better at the areas that we think you need to improve upon. And he just wasn't having it. So that was a tough pill to swallow, because that week two loss that the Dolphins just suffered, I can tell you this, if Minka Fitzpatrick's playing free safety and not Bobby McCain, the Dolphins win that football game week two.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And looking back at in hindsight, it really makes a lot of sense. You're right about that. A lot has been made about the beard versus the mustache at quarterback. At this point, in the offseason, when I looked at the schedule, I thought that we would be seeing Tua, and then next week we'd be seeing Joe Burrow, and we'd have a good litmus test or a good measuring stick for Gardner Minshew to say, no, I belong with these young cats. Well, Minshew's playing and Tua's not playing. What's the timetable, do you believe, for Tua to get on the field? And what does Fitzpatrick have to do to hold on to the job?
Yeah, I think, well, Fitzpatrick needs to start winning here in a hurry. I think if the Dolphins lose this game, there's a realistic chance, because you have 10 days until the next game, which is at home against Seattle, who doesn't have a great organic pass rush to test your offensive line. If you're 0-3, I think with the extra time, the Dolphins should consider potentially making that change and taking advantage of that time. But Fitzpatrick, he earned himself a lot of sweat equity and trust in the coaching staff with the way that he handled the end of last year. So there's some loyalty there to Fitzpatrick and how he kind of energized and galvanized the entire team. So I understand why the Dolphins are taking their time. And with four new starters on the offensive line, they wanted to make sure that that unit was right before you take your number five overall pick and put him back there. But I'll say this, the Dolphins offensive line has been one of the pleasant surprises. And that's aided some by the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is averaging 2.35 seconds from snap to release of the ball on his pass attempts through the first 2 weeks. So this ball comes out fast. But as Tua is watching that, and he's seeing that, and he's seeing the benefits of, well, Fitzpatrick really isn't getting knocked around because he's getting the ball out of his hand so fast. As Tua embraces that dynamic, which was not something he did a lot at Alabama, and he applies that to his own game, I think that's when the Dolphins will be ready and confident that it's time to go. But if you're 0-3, you might as well start getting him those valuable reps now.
No doubt about it. All right, it's Kyle Krabs from Locked On Dolphins talking to Tony Wiggins from Locked On Jaguars as we do a 995 crossover edition. Kyle's going to drill me a little bit. We're going to learn a little bit about each other's opponents tonight for the guys out there that are unfamiliar with what they expect to see tonight. And we'll do that. So buckle your seatbelts up as we continue the crossover edition of Miami and Jacksonville. We'll do that in just a second here on Crossover, Locked On Jaguars and Locked On Dolphins. First, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. If you're going to take that drive down I-95 to Miami, it's about 5.5 hours from Jacksonville to Miami. You're going to need a reliable piece of transportation. And the only way you have reliable transportation is if you have reliable auto parts on that car. And if you need auto parts and accessories that are reliable, there's no other place to go than rockauto.com. From the front to the back, top to the bottom, they have the best parts and they have the best prices. And you need to go on rockauto.com because for two decades, they're a family-owned business that have been servicing us in this country, and me in particular. And when you go on there, there's a box that asks you, how did you hear about us? Well, you put Locked On NFL in that box, and that establishes the fact that you came to them because we recommended it. And they have a good relationship with us, and we have a good relationship with them. And you'll be amazed at the money that you save and the reliability of the parts, and you'll be satisfied, and you'll go back over and over again, just like me and just like Kyle. RockAuto.com is the place for all of your parts and accessories. Take advantage, just like we do here at Locked On NFL. All right, so it's a crossover edition between the opponents for tonight's game on Thursday night in front of a national audience. The Dolphins will take on the Jaguars in Jacksonville. It's Locked On Dolphins, Locked On Jaguars, doing this thing together. And I need to tell you who our show sponsors are today. And that's MyBookie. You need to invest in your intuition and use the promo code Locked On and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. Woo! Designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. So, Kyle, I got to tell you this, man. I picked the Jaguars to kind of wipe the floor with the Dolphins tonight, and I might have been a little presumptuous because I don't know much about the team. So I'm going to give you the floor, man, so we can talk a little bit. I'll tell you about us, and you go ahead and take over and shoot away, man.
Yeah, let's talk about this because I don't know about wipe the floor, but I honestly would not be surprised if Jacksonville wins the game tonight. I wouldn't. I think Jacksonville's playing inspired ball. And I think one of the things that I'm most impressed with when I look at Jacksonville's roster is despite the fact that there has been turnover, obviously Fournette and Jalen Ramsey and losing so many pieces on that defense, Calais Campbell, Tony, you got like some dudes on this defense still. I'm looking at the front seven with Josh Allen and Miles Jack, Joe Schobert signing, Ke'Lavon Chaisson was one of my favorite prospects in this year's draft. How have those guys looked and performed through the first 2 weeks of the season? Because I know what I thought of those guys before. I know what I thought of Miles Jack and Joe Schobert from the past NFL seasons, but like, what has their impact been on this Jacksonville defense thus far?
It's been good, here's the thing. It's been surprising because it's looked different. And they've only had one sack this year, and they haven't gotten the customary pressure that they're used to getting because they don't have Yannick Ngakoue. They don't have Calais Campbell. Josh Allen hasn't had a sack yet. The thought coming into this season, Kyle, is that they weren't going to be able to stop the run because they weren't able to do it last year very well and at all. So they signed some guys in free agency, a couple of defensive tackles and one guy, Rodney Gunner, he had to semi-retire because of a heart condition. He was a big free agent signing from Arizona that they signed. And then they signed a guy from Seattle. His name escaped me right now. Al Woods, a longtime guy at LSU. And then Al Woods opted out. And then they got another guy, Dontavis Russell, who was a second-year player that has set out the year because of injury. So they started to lose defensive linemen, the very guys that they signed for that reason. And then Yannick Ngakoue got traded. Calais Campbell was traded away. So you're like, they're still not going to be able to stop the run. They've been able to stop the run for the most part. They held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards last week. They did a good job in the second half against the Colts in week one. But because of that, they've had to sacrifice pass rush, and the pass rush has not been getting home early. They've been a bend but don't break defense. They've played poorly in the first half, but then they've played okay in the second half, and they've limited the opportunities of the other team in the second half, and that's why they've had these second half comebacks. But it's looked different. They want to get more pressure. We have to see if they can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. If they're going to get more pressure, do they sacrifice the run, and do they have to sell out to stop the run, and do they sacrifice pressure? So that's what you're going to see.
That, you know, that's an interesting parallel between these two teams is Miami's pass rush has not been effective either. And I don't know if it's because the Dolphins in the summertime were talking about, you know, we're going to do design blitz packages, very Bill Belichickian style. You know, we're going to put all these guys up on the line of scrimmage and we're going to overload one side and try and trick you into calling incorrect protections and slide away from where we're actually bringing the extra guy. And that hasn't really shown up yet for Miami. And Miami has been a team that in week one, the Patriots decided, hey, we want to run the ball down Miami's throats. And right. They did to 217 yards. And then week two, Buffalo says, hey, we want to throw the ball all over the yard against the Dolphins. Well, they did. Josh Allen had first career 400-yard passing game last week against the Dolphins. And it was – I thought the Dolphins' run defense was better, but they've been getting torched with play-action passing. And a lot of the reason is they have been running so much just straight man coverage, and they can't get home. Right. So you're there's no pressure, and you're playing straight man asking guys to cover for 5 seconds. So I think the Dolphins will probably – you'll see the Dolphins play a little bit more zone mixed in week three against Jacksonville to try and combat – you know, if we're not going to get home, then we might as well commit to stopping the pass and get a little bit of value in our secondary. But then you get into, okay, now we need to see for real if this Dolphins defensive line, if the week two matchup against Buffalo was just because Buffalo decided they didn't need to run the ball, or if Jacksonville is going to be able to replicate some of that success, because if they can get Miami off balance against play action, if the Dolphins are going to switch to play more zone to compensate for a lack of pass rush, now you may be in the same kind of conflict that Jacksonville sounds like they've been in the first 2 weeks, where it's either one or the other, but you're not going to be able to do both.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if you can't rush Gardner Minshew, you're in trouble, because he has a plethora of weapons to throw the ball to, and he's very mobile. And he actually, how do I put this? It's weird because he's not as good throwing the ball while he's on the run, but he is very good at creating plays when he's off schedule. You know, there's a difference. On the run is one thing, but getting off schedule and resetting outside of the pocket, mm-hmm. he's very, very good at that. So the thing is it's going to be up to guys like Shaq Lawson. And like you said, if they can't get pressure, and then Byron Jones not being there is going to hurt them, because DJ Chark is a superstar waiting to happen. DJ Chark and Devontae Parker, take away Devontae Parker's injuries, DJ Chark and Devontae Parker have a very similar body type, and they also have a very similar career track, where they were expected to, even though one was a first-round pick, one was a second-round pick, they were expected to do a lot. They didn't do a lot early. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they have these catch radiuses. They're professionals. Chark is the real deal. And you'll see it tonight, man. He can really, really play. And Laviska Shenault, this rookie that's built like Andre Johnson and Anquan Boldin, is somebody that they use as an offensive weapon. That is the real deal. So they're going to be a tough – if you can't get home and you have young guys trying to guard them, they're a hard, hard team to play, because Jay Gruden does a really, really good job of mixing and matching and getting the ball out of Gardner's hand really, really quick. So that's probably why I chose the Jaguars to win the game, because of what you just said with not getting pressure and the fact that Byron Jones is injured.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Xavien Howard, DJ Chark matchup, because Miami will probably take some opportunities to shadow him. They elected not to do that when Byron Jones went out last week against Stephon Diggs. But as you said, Chark is a little bit more of a familiar body type for Xavien Howard, who's gone against Devontae Parker at practices, the CB1 versus the wide receiver one, for a couple of years. You know, Stephon Diggs has that ability to really put you in a blender, where Chark is this really pleasantly surprising, smooth, big guy. But he's not that Stephon Diggs jitterbug type in short spaces. So I think Miami, though they elected not to put Howard on Diggs last week, I expect, especially without Byron Jones, you'll see Xavien against DJ Chark. And those opportunities down the field, when Gardner takes those couple shots, those are going to be really fun battles to see downfield.
It will. If you guys in Miami haven't seen a lot of him, the one complaint I've always had of A.J. Green is A.J. Green got all of his yards between the hash mark and the sideline. Well, DJ Chark is like A.J. Green, who eats up the entire route tree, even in the middle of the field. And so watch that tonight when you look at him and tell me. I know you do a lot of draft stuff, and I kind of pride myself on that. Kind of hit me up and say, Tony, you kind of hit that one on the head. And tell me, even if you don't see it, tell me, I don't see it, Wig. I don't see that, Wig. All right, man, so we got a fun game tonight. One of the keys, Josh Lambeau, who I believe is one of the top two kickers along with Justin Tucker in the NFL, he's out. He's on injured reserve. Brandon Linder is not available for this game, who's probably one of the top seven or eight centers. Josh Lambeau could kick if he was in Boca Raton, he could make field goals to Miami, to Hard Rock. So he's not available tonight. That may come into play because they just brought somebody in here yesterday. I don't know the brother's name. He kind of looks like – he looks like one of those R&B singers, man, that used to be with DeBarge or something. But I don't know his name. But good luck to him kicking on a Thursday night if the game comes down to a field goal.
Everybody's watching.
Right, everybody's watching. So – Kyle, man, it's been fun. I know you had an adventurous day and an adventurous night last night, and we're glad you made it safely, man. And Locked On Jaguars and Locked On Dolphins. It's going to be fun, man, and I'll be hitting you up, and you and your fans enjoy the game.
Right on. Same to you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Kyle Krabs from Locked On Dolphins, Tony Wiggins from Locked On Jaguars. You guys enjoy the game, and remember, you can subscribe to this podcast on Google Podcasts as well as follow along on Spotify and bring your friends to subscribe on Apple and iTunes as well. Take care of each other, and we'll see you guys again on these daily podcasts here on Locked On NFL.